Whether you're looking for a bag of crackle or something else to give to trick-or-treaters, the place for all your Halloween stuff is Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob as a podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robiswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, it's robiswebsite.com/AmazonCA. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast, and now here's the guy who may soon be the recipient of a Scott birthday lap dance. I'm Rob Cesarino. Hello, everybody. How's it going? We are back here live on a Tuesday to talk about the latest in BBOTT, and I'm very excited to have a great panel here with us today, and for the first time, I'm going to be talking about BBOTT with the great Brent Walkamot. Brent, how are you?
I'm sorry, who are you?
Yes.
I don't quite recognize you. I think you're Rob Sister Shishio.
Yes, I'm Jordan Parhar.
Yes, so Rob, this is the first time, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I have never talked to Rob all season long about BBOTT. I have, you know, I heard about him on Twitter. I've listened to his podcast with Alex and Darren, but I have never had a chance to be on a podcast with Rob Sister Nino all season long. So it's good that I'm finally here.
Okay, very excited to talk with Brent on BBOTT, and of course, to give the counterpoint to Brent here today, the great Taryn Armstrong, a.k.a. Biscuit.
Yes, I just found out that chivalry is dead in the Big Brother house, so
yes,
actually it never existed at all, so.
No, that's not true. That's not true. What about Paulie and Zakiya?
I mean, there's a lot of chivalry going on there. You know, he won the veto for her. He protected her against the mean girls in the jury house. I mean,
yeah,
chivalrous man.
All right. So we are going to get into everything from BBOTT as we are approaching the end of our third week in the BBOTT house. Going to take your questions as well. Hashtag RHAP on Twitter. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say. Of course, 1 week from today on Tuesday night, the 25th, we will all be live in New York City for our live edition of the BBOTT roundtable, where we will talk with the LFC and Jordan Parhar and Eric Stein and Glenn Garcia and Adam Pock and whoever else is going to be there. Potentially Gina Marie. We'll see what else the cat drags in, as well as these BB alumni. Who knows who might show up. Very excited for that. Brent, are you pumped up for this?
I am. I've never been to anything like this before. I mean, of course, I've been to know-it-alls before, but I've never been to any Big Brother events. So it's going to be very fun.
There's never been one like this before.
I think I have a few fans out there. Just a few.
Yes. Brent, yeah. Are you going to come on the stage and sing and dance like Pauly Calafiore?
I can only hope to do as good as him. Like, that was really amazing. So I would like to be as good as him, but hopefully the audience would be a little bit more into it, though.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see. That's a tall order. Anyway, yes. So let's start to get into this as we are approaching the end of the Scott HOH reign this week. So let's catch up from over the weekend. Of course, Jordan Parhar had the Big Brother happy hour this weekend with you guys. But in case anybody missed that, so Taryn, when we last left off on Friday, we got into everything with the choice of which veto to use. Where did Scott ultimately go?
He did ultimately decide to choose the double veto, which is the correct choice, especially considering Shane was not picked to play in the veto.
Okay. All right. So, Brent, we were also talking about the nominees on Friday. We were talking about the idea of nominating Showmance, but ultimately some pawns went up on the block. So how did the nomination ceremony play out?
Ultimately, Scott went through with his backdoor plan. His target has been Shane the entire time. It's just a matter of how is he going to go about getting his target out? And so he decided to put up Chrissy and Neely as targets, and they were really hoping that America didn't put up somebody from their side of the house.
Well, and Chrissy was really pissed to be going up on the block. She felt very betrayed by Scott. She said this.
Hope you stay a virgin forever.
Really? Come on.
She even said more than that. You know, on the Sunday show with Jordan, I was talking about how Chrissy was not going to be happy with Scott's speech that he gave her. because he was planning on saying and did say, I feel like you are uncomfortable in certain social circumstances. And she took that very hard. She immediately went to go read the BB rule book, Rob.
Yes.
to find a rule that he was breaking so that she could get him, I don't know, evicted from the house, I guess.
Well, what rule was she looking for? Is there some sort of like anti-constructive criticism clause?
Well, what she landed on was he was baiting her into quitting by being so mean. So, I mean, really, just they need to be more careful and more sensitive with Chrissy's feelings. Give her some safe spaces.
Is that even a rule? Hold on. Like, is that even a rule that you can't try to bait somebody into quitting? Because if that was the case, then why would Amanda Zuckerman ever be asked to return to Big Brother?
Well, she hasn't yet.
Yeah, so I guess so.
But I mean, apparently we're taking Chrissy's word for it at this point. She was staring at the rule book for quite a while. So I imagine she's not making it up.
Now, is this a new thing for BBOTT? How is the Big Brother rule book? I mean, you see these people are like reading the Bible left and right. Like, Brent, wouldn't you think that you'd see somebody sitting in the backyard, like thumbing through the Big Brother rule book at some point?
Yeah, I've seen people use the rule book before in the past, but usually Big Brother takes it back inside, or maybe like they can't even, usually it has to stay in the storage closet. Isn't that it, Taryn? Like I don't see it just like wandering around the house like one of the house guests at different times.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen it outside of the storage. I don't think I've ever even like really seen it.
I've seen it in the storage room once before, but I also know that people have talked about the rule book before, and so maybe they've also used it in the diary room.
Now that you're saying, I do remember. I tweeted this out, but like it's like if you play a board game and you have that one friend that just like every time something doesn't go their way, they run and check the rule book to try and find something to like, oh no, this isn't how it works, and then you have to have like a big argument about the rules. Like that's Chrissy. She immediately ran to the rule book.
But let's be real, though. She wasn't totally off base, because Scott and Alex have been plotting behind her back. They have been hoping that she's going to be so miserable that she might actually quit. And how awesome would that be? I mean, let's talk about that. Like, so I find it interesting that at least she can sort of see through what's going on here.
Well, in some sense, but she was focusing on the speech, which Scott said was mostly directed at the photo shoot, where like she was just really awkward and complaining the whole time. But what Chrissy thought that he was referring to the whole situation with her clothes, where she was like, I almost quit over that. And now he's antagonizing me even more. He's baiting me into quitting.
That's true. Yeah. Do we know, was it a BBOTT rule book, Taryn? Did they rewrite? Did they take certain pages out?
I don't think so. I think it's just the regular BB rule book. I mean, although I don't think you're supposed to campaign directly to the cameras, that might be in the rule book. So maybe there are some changes. But I mean, it's the Big Brother rule book. Nobody follows any of those rules. Like it's been a thing. Like you're not supposed to tell people who you're nominating. So like nobody follows any of the rules to begin with.
Yeah, I'd like to see Julie at the start of the season say, this is the Big Brother rule book, and we're throwing it out the window this season. Expect the unexpected, God. House guest.
Yeah, I think it's
throwing it over the top of the fence.
It's more of a guiding principle, not a rigid rule. That's the point of the rule book, I feel like.
Yeah, if Evil Dick can go through an entire season without getting booted from breaking a rule, I think that nobody can be booted from breaking a rule.
All right, so then, Taryn, you worked with your meme maker. You said, we need to get Danielle up on the block. And for the first time, America listened to you, Taryn. How happy were you when Danielle was named as America's nominee?
I mean, I was happy. I was pretty confident going into it, because right from the get-go, she had an overwhelming majority of the vote in all of the polls, including my own. And so it didn't really come as much of a surprise. Her reaction, I don't take a lot of pleasure in other people's pain, but I'm glad that she's not just like overbearingly annoying and cocky about everything anymore. But now she's just like crying about everything, which is almost worse. So I don't really know.
No, in fairness to Danielle, she was very upset. A incredible run of bad luck for her. This was her from the Monday night recap.
At some point, our side of the house has to catch a break.
Yeah. I mean, Taryn, when is that side of the house? When will the Jamboree catch a break in this game? It's been such a terrible run of bad luck for that side of the house.
Yeah, like they lose a bunch of competitions and then America bails them out week after week. And then finally America doesn't bail them out. And it's just like, oh, when are we going to catch a break here? When is America going to finally give us some help? We're the underdogs here.
As I pointed out on Monday's show or Sunday's show, I will just say that I'm kind of glad. Actually, I'm not kind of. I'm really glad that America has been helping them out because they totally stink. Like, let's be honest. They're terrible. And if it wasn't for America, this would be a runaway train in favor of Monty and Cornbread Final Two. So the fact that I don't have to watch that this whole season, I thank America for. And we can actually see a competitive game now.
But I mean, wasn't this the same thing that we talked about in Big Brother 17 with Jason's side of the house, Brent, where it was like, boy, like, you know, I like a lot of people on the side of the house, but they are just terrible. They can't win a competition to save their lives.
Yeah, I guess. But at least now it's a little bit more. Jason won a veto. So let's put that out there. He won a veto when his ass was on the line.
But they just couldn't get their act together.
Right, exactly. These HOH competitions have been a little bit of a crapshoot lately. The first one certainly was, and then this last one really was. So, I don't know. Obviously, the one in the middle there with the endurance competition and the knight and the crown and that whole thing, if Neely had won that, I don't think anything would have really been different because Neely was in favor of getting rid of Monty anyway. So who knows?
Now, Brent, were you in favor of America nominating Danielle? Were you on board with that?
Yes. I would like to point out also that Brent has been on top of things from the start.
Wow.
I have told people what to do. I told people to nominate Cornbread while this bitch over here was talking about, well, you don't want to put up Cornbread because that won't help. If you want Jason's side of the house to succeed, then that's not going to do anything.
Which is true. Who got evicted? Jason won the veto.
Who got evicted?
Jason won the veto.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, moving on. So then I told people to nominate Monty. They nominated Monty. Monty was also evicted after I told people to vote for him. That was a whole campaign, but I never doubted it for 1 minute that Monty was going to be evicted this week. And people are like, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. America won't have any power anymore. The late night crew Jamboree, they're just going to rule the house and we won't have any say. And look where we are. Like, we're totally fine right now.
Might you say that you're basically Derek? Controlling the house, yeah.
Exactly. I'm just like, if you guys listen to me, we'll be fine.
Well, I do think that there is an interesting juxtaposition. That's why I'm very excited to have this particular combination here, because that I do think that this is a bit of a song of fire and ice, where Brent, that you are in touch with the emotions of the people. And that's really the theme of this season. It's like the swinging tides of the emotions of the viewers may control the roost, where Taryn, I think that you're far more analytical in your approach and much less motivated and swayed by emotion, and that you're going to be looking at these things in terms of like, oh, okay, playing it out down the road. But I think that might be more predictive in terms of the traditional Big Brother season. But I do think that maybe in the OTT that Brent may have his finger on the pulse here a little bit more.
Oh, I'm not predicting with strategy, with like analytical things. Like, I, along with Brent, in fact, I think I said before Brent ever said that I think that America will swing back, that it's a self-correcting mechanism where the more that America helps one side, the more that the other side becomes the underdogs. And we all know the underdog effect. And so America does swing back. I thought you were there saying,
though, that by the time America did that, that it would be too late. Like, weren't you the one saying that, or was that Alex, or was that just all of Twitter saying that? Like, if we didn't, people were saying, if we didn't.
Who was worried about the pagonging?
Okay, it was like, Alex and Taryn were definitely tweeting me last week before Monty was ultimately evicted. You know, if we don't evict Danielle here, then it's just going to be a runaway train for the Jamboree side of the house. And I'm like, you're crazy. It's not going to be like that. I mean, it's going to put everybody on equal footing, and look what happened. I'm not trying to misrepresent your position, but is that not what you said?
Well, that was a position, and I...
Offense, there we go.
You're walking right into that one.
I'm saying that it was not my position. It was a position that existed, and I certainly used those votes to help my cause. My cause was, if we don't do this now, we're screwing Alex over. She will probably leave next week. and we won't be able to stop it if the other side wins HOH. And then if they win like another HOH or something else, then we won't be able to control the votes at that point. And we could potentially see something happen where one side gets decimated. But that's obviously just as likely as any other Big Brother season at that point, because America, the sides wouldn't be even enough that America could control the votes.
It just felt very, the sky is falling to me. That's really how I felt. And I was like, this is going to be a great season. And not only that, even if one side got to a point where they had the numbers, so to speak, they still have to win HOH to control two of the nominees, which definitely impacts how many people are voting on your side of the house. And not only that, the care packages are going to get progressively more and more important. And all of the people that are fan favorites have not had a care package yet. So there's a lot of game to be had.
So Taryn, just don't forget that Brent and America are drunk with power and they are going to be swinging this thing in all sorts of ways that may not be able to be predicted at this point. And that's why OTT is going to be a roller coaster ride.
I just think it's funny that the guy that was like, I may not even podcast about this. He's telling me that I was saying the sky was falling.
Yes.
This is true. This is true. I didn't realize how much I love having this kind of power. This is amazing.
Yes. Yes. Okay. All right. So it's democracy in the progress here. All right. So let's get start to get into where we think this is going to go as we go into Wednesday night. So, all right. We have our board set now with the veto. And Taryn, can you just update us on our nominees going into Wednesday night?
Who won the veto and stuff?
Yeah, let's go through that.
Okay, so as I said, Shane was not picked for the veto. Alex and Justin were, and they actually were the winners of the veto. The veto was a puzzle competition that was a knockout one where you choose your opponent, you go head-to-head, you put together a puzzle, and the winner advances, and the loser is eliminated. And interestingly enough, Justin had the choice with three people left between competing against Danielle or competing against Alex. And if he had chosen to compete against Alex, he would have given the veto automatically to Danielle. But instead, he chose to compete against Danielle and he beat her, thus taking the veto away from her.
And she was so happy about that, right?
Oh, she immediately ran to the couches and then ran into the bushes and cried like Rachel. The competition wasn't even over yet. They hadn't even awarded the vetoes.
At some point, our side of the house has to catch a break.
Yeah. At some point.
That's my girl.
Yeah. Why couldn't Justin just give me this veto? Like, why can't I just catch a break? Why won't people give me more things? So Alex did not use her veto and Justin used his on Chrissy and Scott replaced Chrissy with Shane, thus completing the back door. And so Shane, Danielle, and Neely are left on the block.
Oh, boy. And it's an all jamboree block this week. Somebody is going home, Brent.
Yes, somebody's going home, but I don't think the entire house knows who that someone is. So let's talk about this fact. Scott and the pythons, or the plastics,
ball
basically.
Smashers.
I know. I just can't stand calling them
ball
that.
Ball smashers.
They have concocted this elaborate plan where they are not going to tell the Jason side of the house, including Justin and Neely and basically everybody on that side of the house, who the real target is. They plan on voting for Strong to evict Shane, but they are telling them that Danny is the target and we want to get rid of Danny. They're sure America's going to vote for Danny, and they're probably right about that. So it's from the Jason side of the house, they think it's going to be 8-0 to evict Danny, but that is not the case. The ball crusher side of the house wants it to be 4-4.
Ball smashers.
They want to give Scott the chance to break a tie in front of everybody.
Wow. Really hanging him out to dry.
And I don't really understand this point, because just last night, okay, just to take you back to where we are, Scott had what he called the most important conversation of the season. It really wasn't, but he called it that with Jason. And he was, you know, they have been trying, him and Alex have been trying to make a deal with Jason. I feel like all season long, it's been bubbling up. They realize they're the two leaders of these factions. And so they want to work together to make sure they're protected if either side gets in power. And so Scott had a productive conversation with Jason where he was like, look, you know, basically I scratch your back, you scratch my back, and we'll work together secretly to make sure that we're safe for a while. And Jason took it well. He had some good points. He did make sure Scott knew that if, you know, that they would have to go after somebody on Scott's side of the house very soon, or otherwise this plan wouldn't work. And I think Scott sort of nodded his head and said he understood that. Whether or not he would go through with that, I think, is another story. The point of this is they're trying to make a bond, a relationship with Jason and Justin, who do trust Scott and Alex right now. And then you're going to tell me that they're going to blindside them tomorrow night? It just makes no sense. Taryn, please help me out here. Why are they doing this? What is the point of this? That I cannot see.
Well, the original idea came before this conversation that Scott had with Jason. So I do think there's still hope that Alex, because Alex is planning on talking to Jason today. And if that happens, and if it goes well, they may decide to call it off because hopefully at that point they realize this is a terrible idea. But the idea came before this. And the idea was that the other side wants to take Danielle out and they want to take Shane out. And so they thought, okay, well, they're campaigning to us basically to take Danielle out. Why don't we just let them vote for her and then we'll take Shane out. And then if that happens, then she'll be so pissed at them because they voted her out. But it's even without the Jason, Alex, you know, Scott deal, it's still a bad thing to do because it's not going to convince Danielle, because the other side is going to justifiably say they tricked us. They told us that they were voting this way and they're going to come off as liars. They're going to come off as the other side. All they need to do is be honest. They need to just, you know, say, tell the other side, we're sorry, but we have the votes and we're going to vote Shane out. And then the other side will flip over and then they can slowly let the truth come out of like, hey, you know, Danielle, they were campaigning to get you out that week. They really wanted us to vote you out. You don't need to trick them into proving it because it's there. It's true and they're not going to be able to hide it. Right. So don't do this crazy thing. It feels much more simple.
It feels like they're overplaying to me. It feels like they want to make a big move. This is very Survivor to me, where they want to make a big move. They want to do something really important.
Gotta make big moves, Brent.
And showy. And so they want to impress everybody. But it's not a good look for them specifically, because Scott and Alex, for better or for worse, are seen as the leaders. They're seen as the only competent people on that side of the house. So if they go through with this, people like Jason and Justin, who have a large sway over their side of the house, if anybody from the Jamboree side of the house wins HOH, Justin is not going to want to save Alex and Scott at that point. He's going to say, put their ass up. They just lied to us last week.
But let me make the devil's advocate point for why maybe this is a good move, where we've seen the two people so far go out that America has nominated. Do they feel like that? Is it in their own best interest to pander to the wishes of America? And if America put Danielle up on the block, then... Oh, actually, they're doing the opposite. They're trying to keep...
Right, they're doing the opposite.
So, you want to pander to America in the big moves era.
Well, and not only... I mean, that's a great plan, but the problem is that Danielle cannot be America's nominee next week. So, I mean, I can see the point of saying, okay, let's keep Danielle around because then at least she'll be America's nominee. They obviously hate her, so they'll nominate her again. But the rules say that we can't nominate her again. So, obviously, it's going to be one of the other people in the house, and that just increases your chances of being nominated by America if you keep someone like that. So... I don't know. I really hate this plan all the way around.
Brent, let me talk to you as the voice of the American voter for BBOTT. That will the voters act vengefully if they do not assign their will to the vote and go ahead and do not vote out the person America put up on the block?
Well, I mean, I think America at this point really doesn't care between Shane and Danielle. I mean, if I had to guess, it's probably going to be something like, you know, 75-25 in favor of, you know, voting to evict Danielle. I think that's probably where America's going to come down. A lot of people really don't like Danielle. Number one, she's kind of been a bitch lately. She obviously has been very, you know, America's on our side. And then when America's not on their side anymore, she kind of whines about it. On the other hand, Shane has been very vanilla, almost to the point of being milquetoast. And he really doesn't arouse any passions.
What's worse, vanilla or milquetoast?
Well, he doesn't arouse any passions one way or the other.
That's not what I saw in the have not room.
That's true. That's very, very true. He did quite a lot of arousing there. But look, the point is this, that they're going to try and make it where they're going to keep America's nominee. I don't think that's a good idea for a variety of reasons, but even if you want to go through with that, you have to realize that that person's going to be safe next week. She can't be nominated, and America might not be on your side anymore. As it stands, I think America's probably going to vote to evict Danielle, and it's probably going to be a 4-4 vote. So that's, you know, if you're like me, you want team good feeds, that's going to be very fun because it's going to be a tie. All of that side of the house is going to be blindsided, and then we're going to get to see a tie broken on live TV, which is always fun to see. I think it's very fun for TV, so I like that part of it. On the other hand, I think it's a really horrible play for Alex and Scott.
Taryn, can I ask you about how has the ball smashers risen in power in terms of the popularity? What are they doing? Is it just because they have an alliance called Ball Smashers? Is that why America has really put them all to the fore of the top of the Joker's polling?
It's probably for a variety of reasons. And I will say right now, my poll has Danielle in the lead for eviction votes, 58% to Shane's 35%. So
how many people voted on that?
About 1,000 so far.
Okay, what's the margin of error?
Well, I've been right every single time with okay. my poll, so
no margin of error.
None whatsoever. But yes, you are correct. As of yesterday, Alex, Shelby, Whitney, and Morgan are all ahead of even Justin in the Joker's rankings. So I mean, that surprises me because Justin has just continued to grow on me. Wow. As in terms of likability, and he's grown my polls greatly.
Easy.
But yeah, I really think it is the underdog effect to some degree. I think that the first 2 weeks they got screwed over by America twice in a row, and this is the week where while the other side got very complacent and very arrogant, people like Chrissy and people like Danielle, who just got very, very cocky in like, oh, America loves me. Even this week, Chrissy's been saying things like, oh, he thinks he can do this to me, but I know America has my back. Like, they're going to get him back for this. And what is he doing outside in the backyard? Get him out of my backyard. This is just ridiculous. It's just like that kind of behavior is really pushing them to the bottom of the polls. And even in the prank wars and stuff, as Jason noted, the ball smashers, for the most part, are very lighthearted about it. Like they're being petty, but they're laughing. While the other side is like, oh my God, how dare they do this?
Jason totally gets why we nominated Danielle. I don't know if he fully gets it, but he gets the main part of it, which is that she talks a lot about herself. She's kind of selfish, and America's not really down with the whole showmance thing.
Okay, so now how does the party in power, the ball smashers, how do they remain in power, Brent? How do they avoid the medallion of power effect where they end up in power and then shortly thereafter the other side ends up back in power?
Wow. I mean, I think it's going to swing back really quickly here because, like, I mean, I have been rooting for the Morgan Alex side of the house to get power because, you know, I'm like a kid with candy and I got so much candy on this side. So now I want a little bit of something sour to balance it out. Mm-hmm. Just like America. I want osmosis, you know, or not osmosis. So homeostasis. That's what I want. I want homeostasis. Not osmosis. Anyway, so I saw Terrence look when I saw
mixing.
I know, right? The point is that, I think it's already wearing thin quickly, at least with me. Like, I'm happy that they're going to get what they want this week and either Danny or Shane is going to be evicted, probably Shane. On the other hand, from me watching the feeds, they've already started to act a little bit cocky because they have won HOH 3 times in a row. And I really would like to see a Jamboree HOH here. And I think that would even cement the America in favor of the Alex Scott side of the house even more.
It's very possible. I'm guessing that there's enough momentum at this point to get a Chrissy nomination next week. I think that she has just been out of control with how obnoxious she is. And I don't think anybody in their right mind wants to let her continue to do that. I think that, like, right now she is just above Shane and Danielle on the Joker's charts. I think regardless of who wins HOH, unless it's her, she'll probably be going up on the block. But after that, I think there's definitely a possibility that the coin flips. However, I do think that what Scott and Alex are doing by approaching Justin and Jason is exactly what they need to do to stay in power. because that's like a dream team as far as likability is concerned. Justin and Jason are two of the most popular players. Alex is one of the most popular players. If they actually get together and work on taking everyone else out, they will probably remain in power for the rest of the game.
Oh my God. Can you imagine that, Rob? Where we could have an Alex, Scott, Jason, and Justin final four. Like, that would be so great.
That's
like,
what you say now, Brent. But then in 2 weeks after they're in power, you're going to say, I'm sick of them. I'm tired of them. Let's America. Let's put Jason on the block. We need Neely in power.
Right? Thank you. Right. I know. Well, I mean, then I have my care packages to fix things if I don't like the way things are going.
It's impossible, because I just think that as a viewing audience that we're so bipolar in that whoever ends up getting into power. I mean, it's hard to say, because there are some people just going back to last season. There's some people that were our favorites, whether or not they were in power. The problem is then you have people who are already unlikable. And then when they fall out of power, they get pouty and they start to have tantrums and stuff like that. And we really don't like that. So then we really pile on those people. So it's not necessarily that we're completely bipolar, but it's such a moving target with this stuff, Taryn.
Yeah, I think there's usually like a tipping point in a Big Brother season, about halfway to two thirds of the way in, where somebody is the underdog and whoever is the most popular at that point, then it's just an avalanche and they stay on top for the rest of the season. Generally, we saw that happen with Paul and Victor, where like they had been in power for a long time, but then they hit underdog status at just the right moment and it carried them through the rest of the season, especially because the other people surrounding them were, as you were saying, very pouty about when they weren't in power and very annoying, and they were the fun ones left in the house. I think there reaches a point where there's not enough other people for the consensus to flip to that you're able to carry it through. And it's just a matter of hitting the right moment. So I think that if Alex and Jason and Justin can make this work, I think that they can not be overtly in power for a couple weeks. And then if they are able to last until halfway to two thirds of the way through this season, I do think they could carry that down to the end.
Okay. Then how did Scott hold up, Brent, in your mind during his HOH reign?
Scott's been great. I really do think that, as long as he doesn't go through with this cockamamie plan to blindside Jason and Justin and not tell them the real target, if he doesn't go through with that, I will give him a 10 out of 10, because he's going to get his target out. He accomplished exactly what he set out to accomplish. He needed a little bit of luck along the way in terms of the veto draw and the outcome of the competition to get what he wanted. But Shane never was in the veto competition to begin with, and obviously he didn't win the veto. So he got what he wanted in terms of getting rid of Shane and getting him up on the block. He's not ruffled too many feathers besides Chrissy, and he's been firm about what he wanted. That's what I like about him the most, is that he kind of realizes there's a possibility, but not a certainty, that America may be against him at this point. And he's actually right. It's not a certainty. I don't feel like America is totally against him. But even if they are, you kind of have to just work your way around that and adapt to the game that you currently have in front of you. And I feel like he's done an admirable job of doing that.
Taryn, what's your polling telling you about Scott?
I was polling for the America Care Package, and he was very high on that vote. He's about halfway down the list on Jokers. He's ahead of pretty much all of the Jamboree except for Justin. So he's at the bottom of the ball smashers. But he's still, that's where you want to be, because he's not going to be a target for America, I don't think. And he's not going to be a target for the House either. It should be noted, like, how well he did in the conversation with Jason, where he was talking about working with him. After that conversation, Jason was actually like, he really bought into this idea and he was saying, maybe we can make this work. And he lied to Chrissy about the conversation. Like, Jason is very seriously considering this offer, and it should not be understated just how clutch this is for both Scott and Alex, because they were the top two targets for the other side of the house with a bullet. And if they win Jason and Justin over, then they can keep them safe, and they will have literally saved themselves next week if a Jamboree member wins HOH.
As long as they don't go through with blindsiding them.
Right. As long as they don't ruin it.
They're going to make this great bond with them, and then they're just going to totally blow it to pieces. I don't understand the point of it.
Yeah. Speaking of Scott, we got to see on the Monday recap, it was Whitney's birthday in the house on over the weekend.
Today's my birthday.
And for her birthday, she got the gift that many women tend to get in the Big Brother house, a lap dance from a man in the Big Brother house. Taryn, we talked about this only a couple of weeks ago, that the way out of proportion numbers of male lap dances to female lap dances go in the Big Brother house.
Yeah, and they really jumped that number up with Whitney's birthday.
And they constantly show it. Like, it does not end up on the cutting room floor at all. But, Brent, so Scott gave the lap dance to Whitney, which we got to see. First off, were you impressed with his technique?
No. The funny part is that I feel like all three of the guys who I saw who gave her a lap dance, they were totally in character. Like, Scott basically kind of awkwardly went up to her in his like tighty whities that were a little loose fitting and didn't quite like make him look really all that great, and started to dance really awkwardly. And then Jason walks up to her in his little tight underwear, like a gay tweaker on the dance floor, like he's high on speed or something.
Tweaker. And not twerker?
Well, no, he was a tweaker. Like, you know, he's tweaking, you know, like he's on crystal. Like he's using drugs. That's what he looked like when he was like totally like,
he was a tweaking twerker.
Exactly. He was in character. Like, I see those boys at the club. Well, I used to, when I used to go to the club, you know, I see those kind of boys. They look like Tara. Anyway. So, and then Shane,
I've never seen before.
Right. I know. Right. And then Shane walks up to her and he's all like, debonair and smooth, and you know, you could tell that he's definitely done this before.
Wow.
He's got the hair coming down and he's like just giving her the best lap dance of her life. So it was a cornucopia of different types of dance moves for
more like hornucopia. Yeah. All right, so then when we get to this lap dance with Scott, it really was bizarre. We've talked about some of the editing choices and the music and the voiceover, but I pulled the sound clip of the lap dance from Scott because it sounded like there's a weird sound effect that was inserted in here. And I'm trying to put my finger on exactly what this is supposed to be. Let me see if you guys can hear this. It's like, did you hear this? Like, is
yeah, it's
this?
A little Sanford and Son S.
Well, not the music. Listen for the sound effect.
All right.
I don't know what that's supposed to be.
Is this from The Price is Right?
I don't know. Taryn, are you hearing anything there?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure I'm catching it.
I don't know. It was
boom, 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 boom.
Not the music. Yeah. Not the music. The sound. The sound effect. Like it's
play
not,
one
like,
more time. One more time.
Like there's some. Like there's something for? Squishy going on.
Okay, one more time.
Wait, and it's over when he's shaking. I don't know what they're going for. Yeah, like a slurping sound, Brett is saying in the chat room.
Okay, I'm with you now. But I it was
like
it
water,
was,
right? Like was, water sloshing in the sound effect.
I don't know, but that's a daring choice on the editor's part there.
Later, they were joined by their virgin king.
Yes. Yes. bizarre. It was bizarre.
I mean, I would qualify a lot of the editing that they've done so far on this season bizarre.
Rob, these are the same people who this poor girl got hit by a train and ended up in the hospital forever, and they my old man laugh. I started thinking about it. Like they played the train whistle as she's telling the story.
I got hit by a train last year while I was walking.
Yeah,
like he's just progressively gone further and further, deeper and deeper into Austin's trailer.
Yeah, we're going there. All right.
Oh God.
I just think that maybe when we get to the end of this BBOTT season, we take a look at how this went when Justin's the inevitable winner, and it's just like, I think you don't ever want to get into power. I don't think you ever want to be sort of like 1 foot out the door. I think you just want to sort of just be likable, stay down the middle, and then just right at the end, you have enough popularity where America is going to vote for you to be the winner.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a regular season, we say, okay, not necessarily floating, but play the middle. And I think you really do want to play the middle in this OTT season and just keep your main alliance with America, keep them entertained. And at the end of the day, you end up rewarded.
I agree with that to an extent, although I feel like people are going to get onto the fact very quickly that America really, really likes Justin and Jason if they never become have-nots. And not only that, but Justin makes a really big deal of the fact that he's not a have-not. And so, you know, if you continually see over and over and over again that these two people are never, ever, ever being punished by America, we're not nominating them, we're not evicting them, and we're not making them have-nots. And not only that, we're giving their side care packages. Like, you have to be threatened by that if you know America's voting for the winner. So I feel like that it's fine for now, but I do worry about Jason and Justin at, say, final eight. I feel like their time may be coming sooner than later.
Okay. Yeah, that's why I feel so good about Neely's position, where like Neely is very much in the middle in terms of like house position and America position. Granted, her emotional outbursts have gotten bigger and bigger, and that's starting to really harm her game. When Scott goes to Jason and says, you know, we want to make an alliance with you, Justin, and Neely, Jason is like, I don't know if Neely can be included in this. She's a little
right. I forgot to mention that. Yeah. So like when Scott went to Jason and Justin last night to talk about this alliance, he was including Neely in it. Like, he wanted it to be him and Alex, Jason and Justin, and Neely basically as a fifth wheel. And Jason was like, well, you know, Neely's really close to Chrissy. I mean, I'll run it past her, but I don't know if she'll really go for it. And Justin, for his part, really wasn't even willing to include Neely in it. I thought that was really interesting. He was basically like, I'd rather just us be just us four. And, you know, let's just leave Neely out of it. So eventually I don't know if Neely may become a part of it, but right now she's definitely not a part of it.
Okay. We'll see. We'll see ultimately where it goes for Neely. Also in the news this week was the announcement that your boy, Paul, is going to be coming into the house to host the competition.
Oh!
Are you friendship or pissed, Taryn, with Paul coming into the house for a competition?
Well, friendship. I mean, it'll be great to see
friendship.
Paul.
Yes.
Yeah. And they will finally know the results of Big Brother 18.
Yes. He should tell them that he won. Your boy won the season. Right.
They'll all be trash talking Nicole.
Yeah.
Right. I think this might help, though, because, you know, the people in the house, that if they think that a girl hasn't won 6-7 seasons of Big Brother and they find out that Nicole is the winner, it might satiate that side of the house that really like is like, okay, it has to be a girl this time. We have to make sure that a girl is the winner of Big Brother, because, you know, for a while it didn't look like Nicole. I still can't believe she won, actually.
Of course you can.
I know, right?
But is it possible, though, that even if they find out that Nicole is the winner, that they say that Taryn and Alex say that BBOTT does not count as a real season of Big Brother, and that a woman, it doesn't matter if a woman wins the season?
Yeah, I don't know. Have you amended your position on that or not? Because, like, I still feel like this is Big Brother. Like, I don't feel like... In fact, I feel like this is Big Brother on cotton candy and steroids. This is great. Like, I love this season.
Okay, it is being misrepresented, because I'm not saying it's not Big Brother. I'm saying that, you know, I was asked...
Same rule book, Taryn.
not necessarily. I was asked if I could include this winner on the winner rankings. And how we did our winner rankings was, how likely is a person to win a random season of Big Brother? And this is a different game than the typical Big Brother. They're playing a different game. So it's kind of like this game is checkers, or yeah, checkers, and the other game is chess. And so you can't really compare the games. I wouldn't try to rank them in terms of
strategic ability. There's Jordan now. Jordan, the winner of Big Brother 11. That was an amazing chess game that she played to win Big Brother. I'll tell you what.
She got super lucky in a chess game as opposed to somebody
who wins.
What do you mean stop? Like,
all right. Let's not get too far down the rabbit hole. All right. So let's get to some questions here. Hashtag RHAP. Taking your questions here with Taryn and Brent on the BBOTT chat. Andrew says, do we call this a successful HOH week for Scott, regardless of who goes between his target Shane or America's target Danny? Brent, are you friendship or pissed with Scott's HOH reign?
Friendship. I mean, he's done a great job. Like I said, I mean, he wanted this to happen. He wanted Shane to be eliminated, and it looks like he's going to get his way. The only thing that there's two questions that we have. One, do they change their mind and ultimately vote to evict Danny? I think Jason had some good points last night, and you know, you're obviously you'd be giving America what they want. On the other hand, he also needs to make sure that he eventually tells Jason and Justin the real plan. Otherwise, they're going to feel totally blindsided. And Alex, and that, the point of that is Alex and Scott are going to be the ones left holding the bag. It's a great idea for people like freaking Whitney and Morgan, people that don't really interact that much with that side of the house. But for people like Alex and Scott, they've got to let him know that this is the real plan.
And Taryn, your friendship?
Yeah. I mean, he, like, even if America hadn't backed him up, this would have worked out for him because Alex won one of the vetoes because of the double veto pick, and she would have been able to take off a person that was nominated by America had they nominated somebody from his side.
What did you think about Scott telling Jason about his plan to backdoor Shane and Danielle?
You know, I thought it was a little hasty at first because Jason did go and he told Shane and and Shane was able to tell Danielle. And so that everybody knew, and that kind of disappointed Scott because then he wasn't able to do like his big mean speech. But I think that's probably beneficial for Scott. Right. And it works out for Scott as well because he's now been feeding Jason info. So when he goes to Jason about working with him, Jason is much more inclined to believe it. So It actually worked out pretty well. And so retroactively, I would go back and say it was probably a good thing to do that.
Okay, let's keep going. Stacked wants to know, do you think this new alliance forming between Justin, Jason, Neely, Alex, and Scott will actually stick, or are they just lying to each other? Brent, is this going to happen?
Well, like I said, Neely's not really a part of it right now, although I think she'll be used by those people if they do stick together. Look, I think if Jason and Justin win HOH, I do feel like that they would stick to the plan because they were kept safe this week by Scott. On the other hand, if Alex and Scott win head of household, if their side gets head of household, like let's say Alex becomes head of household, she's going to have a lot of pressure on her, I feel like, to take a big swing at one of the big boys, and that would be Jason or Justin.
Okay. Edmo wants to know, assuming that things go as planned and America ties the vote for Shane and Danielle, how pissed will she be that her allies voted for her? Taryn, do you think that Danielle gets over this, or is this back to that her side of the house can't catch a break?
At some point, our side of the house has to catch a break.
It's going to be both. She's going to be very unhappy. She's going to be crying. And she's going to be really upset at them, but then it's going to turn to the other side for tricking them into voting that way. And it's going to be all of the other side's fault.
Yeah, I don't understand this because she knows that her side of the house has to make a choice here. Like, I mean, they've been put in a bad position because of Scott and the Alex side of the house. It has nothing to do with Jason and Justin and Neely and those people. I mean, those people are blameless in this situation. And even if they vote to evict her, I mean, she's really going to be pissed because she just lost her boo. Okay, Shane will be walking out the door in a tiebreaker vote, and she'll realize that everyone was lying to her all week. She thought maybe she was going to be going home, and now she's still in the game.
What do you think of that, Taryn?
I feel like we've been poo-pooing this idea the whole show. I feel like just hopefully they don't go through with it. And that's how Danielle is going to react. You know, it's textbook Danielle.
Yeah, not good. It's not good. Jackson De La Roca says, could you imagine coming out of the house and seeing that Big Brother has dubbed you the Virgin King?
Later, they were joined by their Virgin King.
No, I think he's going to be more mad at rap, I feel like.
Why?
Like, I didn't really pay attention to the fact that they called him the Virgin King. Like, that totally went over my head. But then I listened to your podcast and you play it over and over again. I was like, oh, that's so funny. Like, and now that's all I can think about when I look at Scott.
I hope you stay a virgin forever.
Yeah.
There's that too. Yeah.
Don't blame me. He was talking with Jason again about Rob Has a Podcast.
What did he say?
Said,
Oh my God.
He said, I would love to be on Rob Has a Podcast. That would be awesome. Like, I'd really love to do that.
Yes, that he will break his his streak of never being on Rob Has a Podcast before. How about that, Brent?
I thought that he also mentioned Taryn's name and yeah, he didn't mention... Huh? Who did he mention?
Jason shouted me out again, yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay, whatever.
So like, every time whatever. Scott brings up Rob Has a Podcast, that Jason immediately brings up Taryn.
Yeah, that's basically what happened. And he also said again, like, I was like way too rude for them and they never asked me back.
For the record, let the record show, I believe Jason was asked back on occasions. I believe that was the case.
Yeah, we loved Jason. We thought he was great.
Yeah,
we loved him saying people were prostitutes.
I believe we did invite him back for more podcasts.
Yes, exactly. Okay?
Right. Yeah.
All right. Harper Elizabeth says, don't you think that Taryn is way too emotional this season? He has not been analytical at all. And Brent is right. Taryn was out of control. Wow. Harper Elizabeth, shots fired. Brent, is Taryn being emotional or is Taryn demonstrating a lack of emotion?
Oh, sorry, I'm trying to log out of my Harper Elizabeth account here. If you know nothing about Taryn, he really doesn't have emotions. Like this is just him play acting, like Data on Star Trek. He's totally fine. You know, mm-hmm. Don't worry about Taryn.
Taryn, do you want to respond to the charges you've been too emotional this season?
Every single person that has said I'm being too emotional is staunchly anti Alex and staunchly for Jason and Justin. So I'll just say that.
Yes.
Yeah, there is a contingent of fans who are very anti-Alex, and I don't understand them at all. I'm very pro-Justin Jason, and I love Alex. Like, I think she's great.
Yeah. Interesting. The politics are so complicated this season, Taryn.
Tell me about it.
Yes.
Somebody tweeted something saying, like, Taryn Armstrong and his KKK Big Brother fans are targeting Danielle.
Okay, there's three people named with names that start with K this season. Who's that? Christy? Who else is there?
Well, okay, this is why if you listen to old Brent.
Cornbread? Is that cornbread?
Nobody ever listens to Brent.
Like Cindy with an S?
I wanted to just remove Monty from the board because he doesn't have those kind of feelings.
It has nothing to do with Monty anymore. It's all about Danielle.
Well, I know, but if you could have gotten on the whole Monty train last week, then you wouldn't have to deal with that stuff this week.
They're calling anybody who's against Danielle right, including you.
Oh, really? Me? Oh, well, yes. Screw them. Okay.
Yeah. That no reasonable person, I don't believe, shares those thoughts, Taryn. So just take some solace in that.
No, well, that's what I'm saying. Like, in terms of like politics and factions this season, it's very divisive. And, you know, I feel like some people are having a lot of fun with it. Like, I see a lot of threads on Reddit where they're like, let's make this fun move and let's try and split the opponent's votes and like stuff like that. But then there's also stuff on Reddit that's just nasty and there's nasty stuff all over the place.
Just don't worry about what Ken Bone writes in the comments. That's fine. He's just one guy.
I feel like
it's interesting.
I think the Joker's ratings, I know people, you know, bag on them sometime, but I think it's a very good gauge of where the feeders are, because on Joker's, you're not necessarily voting for someone. Like, if you really hate someone, you can give them a rating of 0 or 1. And obviously, you know, if you are logging online to vote out someone or to vote for someone, that's an affirmative action that you have to take. It's not the same as not voting for someone. If that's what I'm trying to get across. Like, you could have a popularity poll where you're like, who is your favorite house guest? And some people could end up at the bottom. But there are also people who really hate Alex, but they can't tell you that they hate Alex. But then you go to like somebody like Joker's and you can look at the ratings to see, well, who's also getting the really low votes? Because those are the people who are most likely to get the votes on America's Choice and Eviction and all those sort of things.
Okay.
And I will say, you know, at first I was very leery of all this, you know, antagonism. But I've noticed that I feel like I'm just some nobody on a podcast who's like spewing a bunch of nonsense. People are getting very worked up about it and attracting a bunch of attention to me. I'm like, feel like my follower kind of just skyrocketed since I started being this controversial.
Yes, Taryn saying that no press is bad press.
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Not at the moment. All right, let's do a couple more questions. Andrew Kirk says, what care package would be a better care package to give Justin looking ahead? BB Safety Servant or the Co-HOH? Yeah, Tara, could you explain to me how the Big Brother Safety Servant works? It sounds like that somebody has to be somebody else's butler.
Yeah, basically, that's how it is. It's basically the safety, like the safety suit, just with extra duties.
What happens if, you know, that I tell you to, you're my butler, and then I tell you, all right, clean my HOH room, and you say no. What power do I have over you?
I don't know, you probably have to give up your safety if you don't obey the command. I imagine that's how it would work.
Brent, is this going to work?
Yeah, that's what it says. It says the winner of this care package becomes the safety servant.
Look,
in order to remain
safe, I feel like doing what the punishment is, I'll do it when I feel like it. Okay?
It says in order to remain safe, they have to become their personal servant. That means they must follow every command from every command from Big Brother if they want to remain safe for the week. That's what it says. Yeah, well, that's different.
So isn't everybody Big Brother's servant? Well, I don't understand why. I mean, are they going to be in like some sort of like butler or like French maid uniform?
It's hard to follow because it does say it will make them the head of household's personal servant. And then it says they must follow every command from Big Brother. So
I don't know.
Maybe Big Brother will command them to serve, like do things for the HOH. Maybe it won't just be like, you know, Jason ordering Shelby around or something.
Yeah, but that's what we have to wait and see who's the HOH, because like if Justin becomes head of household, then Shelby has to be the safety servant. I don't care what you people say. I need to see that on my feeds. Like we need to see who's the head of household and then we'll decide who's the safety servant. I don't think we should give Justin the care package yet because I think he's fine. I really don't think anybody's going to come after him. You know, obviously down the line, there's co-HOH, double eviction veto, which basically means you can't go home that night, and then the fast forward to the final four challenge in week 7. So there's a lot of stuff yet we can give Justin if we want to save him.
Okay. All right. Let's do two more questions. This is from Edmo. Did America turn on the Jamboree because they wanted to even the playing field or to cool their egos? All right, Brent. So speak as the voice of America. Why did America turn on the Jamboree?
Both, like I said, because they wanted to cool their jets a little bit because they have been getting a little haughty toddy about, you know, America's on our side, especially Chrissy. And Chrissy has been all over the feeds basically saying that. And Jason, to an extent as well, is like, you know, America sees that, boo. America sees that. America's got our back. And I get tired of hearing that. I don't know about everybody else. On the other hand, they have been getting what they wanted. And so we also wanted to even the playing field. Like I said, this is great right now. I feel like the sides are very even. I feel like they're very well matched. I feel like that maybe the ball crusher side of the house, otherwise known as the plastics, I feel like they maybe have comp beasts a little bit more. On the other hand, these comps can be very, you know, crapshooty. So, I mean, who knows? You know, we may wake up on Wednesday night and somebody like Justin or Neely could be a head of household. Oh my God. Can you imagine if Chrissy's head of household? Oh my God.
I was just laughing at you saying wake up on Wednesday night because I know that's actually what you do. You wake up at night.
Wow, sick burn. All right. And last question. This is from Robot Taren. Isn't Scott getting more blood on his hands with backdooring Shane? Isn't this a bad move? I mean, this is a lot of what we've talked about here tonight. And Robot Taren agrees with Human Taren. This is a bad move, right, Taren?
To nominate
Shane. You agree with Robot Taren? Backdooring him.
You think it's a good move, right?
Yeah.
We think it's a bad move not telling them that he's going to be evicted.
Yeah. And like, I mean, in a regular Big Brother season, I think the move right now is to say, listen, Shane and Danielle, these other guys on your alliance are throwing you under the bus right now. And we don't want to do that. We don't want to do what they want. We don't want to play into this. We're going to backdoor Jason. Right. Like we're going to take out a big target and hope to swing those two onto your side or something. But at this point, the house is so divided because of America's vote and they can't turn against Jason right now because then America would hate them. So they can't really make that move. And so what they're doing right now is probably their ideal move in the sense that they're taking out somebody that's staunchly against them and they're aligning with the very popular people to keep themselves safe from both the other side of the house and from America.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you right there, though, because you said this on the Sunday show and you said it again tonight, and I don't really see it. You keep saying that, you know, that we have these two sides of the house because of America. And I don't agree with that at all. Like, I feel like there would be two sides of the house no matter what, regardless of what America's doing.
Well, Taryn, think about it this way. Do we have a divided America?
Very divided America. Think about it this way, though. Danielle would have gone home week one if America hadn't saved her. And a lot of the tension comes from between Danielle and the other side of the house. And a large part of it is because they targeted her week one and week two, and America saved her both weeks. It's very much like the Dan and Frank thing, where Dan was about to get Frank out early in the game, but Frank was saved from eviction and then had a grudge against Dan for the rest of the season, essentially.
Yeah, but I don't remember it that way. I remember Scott being the idiot who decided to evict Cornbread and keep Danielle. Isn't that what really happened?
He was, but it wouldn't have happened without both America's nomination and eviction vote.
Okay. All right.
I think there would be two sides of the house no matter what. I feel like America is a symptom of the house, not the other way around. I don't feel like we're causing it, whereas you feel like it's the cause.
Okay, well, the piece of evidence you just introduced was just demolished, so I don't know.
Bye, girl, bye.
Let me just get you guys on the record. The person going home on Wednesday night is who, Brent?
Shane.
Shane, Taryn, yeah. You agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. We'll see what happens Wednesday night. Jordan Parhar will be back with Alex Kidwell and Big Meech once again live midnight Eastern time or sometime thereabouts, 9 p.m. or sometime thereabouts on the West Coast. And then I'll be back again on Friday for more BBOTT coverage once again as we get through this elimination and then also the next HOH and start to look ahead to the weekend. So lots of fun stuff coming up there. We'll also have Australian Survivor. We're down. Hey, we're down to the final. It was final 6 week on Australian Survivor, Brent.
Oh, really? Isn't this the show that started with like 30 people?
Yes, yes. So I've been watching the Australian Survivor live feeds, or as they call it, Australian Survivor.
And your eyes look dead right now.
Yes, yes. So sorry, that's my childlike joy in explaining it. And so we're going to be back with Stephen Fishback at the top of this hour coming up 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific. So be on the lookout for that. And I'm very excited to get into our hunt for the next LFC member. I'm very excited about what we're going to be doing. I keep teasing it. I guess I could get into a little bit more of what we're doing, that we have a pool of applicants that submitted applications, and we've selected 9 of these people, and we are going to be having the LFC break this group into coaches, voice style, and Team Alex, Team Brent, and Team Taryn are going to be rolling out their teams of three people that they are mentoring to be the next member of the LFC. And we're going to start those shows probably, you know, next week is going to be in New York, so we should probably start those shows once we get back from the know-it-alls trip.
That makes sense to me.
I want to, before this even starts, apologize to anyone that goes on Brent's team. Just, I'm sorry.
Yes, yes. So we will, maybe we can announce the teams before we head to New York, and then we'll get into our first shows. And then America is going, or the world, is going to have a big role in selecting. Maybe the meme makers will be out in force as we begin to pare down the field of 9 to work on finding the next member of the LFC. So very excited to get into that. So thanks again to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes and editing the podcast. Plus, don't forget, we've got a News AF that we recorded this morning. Podcast is coming your way as well shortly. So take care, everybody. Have a good one. Oh, we have a hashtag?
Oh, yeah. Hornucopia. That Hornucopia. Was what I had
written. All right, good. Brent on the spot. Why? Biscuit, you had something else?
I wanted osmosis.
Osmosis?
Okay, I'll go along with that.
Let's go. Who knows? There might be a bunch of scientists already tweeting about osmosis.
But that's the great part about it.
Okay. And Paul Borden is suggesting a tweaky twerker. It's a slippery slope.
We got some good ones here.
Slippery slope. Yeah. All right, so fun stuff. Good to get into it for the first time with you both on a show this season. So looking forward to doing it again. Take care, everybody. Have a good one.
Bye.